The views and opinions expressed in the Humanizing the Headset podcast are those of the authors, guests, and hosts of the podcast, and do not necessarily reflect the opinion or position of Humanizing the Headset as a whole. This podcast may contain adult language and adult content.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
Hi. It's been a little bit. It's been like a month, right?
It's been a hot minute, yeah.
If I sound muffled, I'm wearing a mask because I have a little bit of a cold, and I don't want to get my friends here sick, so.
Yeah.
Well, I sound muffled because I'm eating food.
Okay. I think everybody pretty much just assumed that. This is not the night.
The only way why I come here is to eat donuts.
Well, it could
be. But you bring the donuts, so yeah.
So?
Yeah, why don't you just eat
You come
them?
Over here for donuts and social hour?
Yeah, socializing.
Donuts and social hour.
Yeah, we have literally been socializing for about an hour now.
About an hour, yeah. There's a little setup, of course, but
We looked at each other and said we should probably actually start doing what we came here to do.
Yeah, whatever.
Which is to fuck shit up. No.
That's right. Boom.
Wait, why are we
How was everybody's TC week? How was your TC week,
So
Kaylee?
We are actually celebrating our TC week this week. We did not celebrate... Last month, we decided to push it back for budget reasons. We wanted to push it into the next budget year.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
So we're doing it now. And
so are you going to have to permanently move it, or did you allot for
the end of the year? No, we allotted for that. Okay, all right. So, cool. We have been planning this for quite some time, so some of it came out of last year and some of it came out of this year. But our last year's TC week got pushed back to Christmas.
Everyone's got pushed back or canceled last year.
So it was like weird. Like we screwed up our budget with it. Yeah. But it's fine. We figured it out.
Interesting.
So yeah, we just like spent the whole shift yesterday decorating, not doing our jobs. Just kidding. We still did our jobs. But we were decorating. It took hours. I really wish that we had started it earlier.
Yeah.
But we were excited about it. My partner and I are the planning people for it. I like to joke that we're the party planning committee.
Right.
From the office.
Mm-hmm.
Just not as bitchy.
The other party planning committee, right? The second one. I know.
So
Brendan
our,
just made a motion like, I don't get it.
Brendan has no idea because he doesn't watch The Office.
I'm a Parks and Rec guy.
You should go watch that episode. That's one of the Christmas episodes. It's really funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah.
Just watch it so at least I can understand the references.
Well, What happens is the one chick, you know who Angela is on the show, the blonde girl?
She's stuck the one up behind girl. The like front desk, right?
No, that's Pam. That's Pam. So you don't know who Angela is.
That's Pam. That's Pam. Everyone. Yeah. Not Angela.
Angela is like the really stuck up one who's
obsessed that works
with
in
cats.
The accounting department. Yeah, she's really weird. So she runs the party planning committee.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say the word. She's very difficult when it comes to stuff. She's a bitch about it.
Yeah.
Things.
She's pretty psycho about it.
Yeah. So she, what happens is she berates one of the other people that's new on the committee and also new in their office and forces her to leave because she doesn't like her ideas.
What is so she, then doesn't she say starts, like someone said, like what color streamers do you want? Green. Green is a whorish color. Yeah. Like she's just like that.
Well, that was with Phyllis and Phyllis says, well, that's what you said about orange. And Phyllis was wearing an orange dress. So
right,
it was really funny. Yeah. So, but anyway, the girl gets upset about it, you know, cause she gets kicked out of the meeting. So her and Pam, the girl behind the front desk, start a second party planning committee.
And I think they call it like the committee for planning parties instead of the party.
Yes.
So they plan
a second Christmas party. Yeah. In a different area of the office where they're going to have margaritas. It's this whole competition.
Yeah, it's
hysterical.
It's hilarious.
So, you know.
So, we're not quite as bitchy as the party planning committee. Mm. But
tell us about your theme.
So, it's summer camp. Yes. I started planning TC Week for our center a few years ago after, you know, it's one of those things that, like, everyone thinks it's great and everyone thinks TC Week is so fun. And then... when you ask for volunteers to plan it, everyone's like, oh, I wouldn't be good at that. I don't know how to do that. So no one wants to do it.
Right.
So I ended up taking over for it a few years ago and just started going with like themes.
Okay.
So the first year I did it, I think it was the Olympics. It was like a summer Olympics year.
Oh, nice.
So we did the Olympics was our theme, and we had like Olympic events that you could participate in, and you got like points, and then whoever had the most points ended up with like a grand prize at the end of the week.
That's actually
so there
cool.
was like a first, second, and third
cool.
place.
That is cool.
And then there was a year, I want to say it was 2 or 3 years ago, where the Game of Thrones season premiere ended up landing on the same week as TC Week. And we're all big Game of Thrones fans. So we, our theme was Game of Phones. We divided up everyone into houses. We had t-shirts made. We decorated the that's, center that's like funny, a medieval actually. Castle.
I think I remember you talking
it
about
was,
that.
That was really funny. So
you guys hosted events too for like everyone.
We did, yeah. We had like events where everyone could like walk with friends or whatever and get points, and then they did like bowling, we did dodgeball with other centers.
Yeah, I missed that. I totally would love to do dodgeball.
Yeah, because we have a dodgeball court at one of our park buildings.
Yeah.
That they let us rent it for free.
We should.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Brainstorming idea. HTH dodgeball tournament.
Yes.
I think that would be great.
We wanted to do it, but with COVID, we didn't want to, like, encourage a bunch of people to get together and
right.
throw things at each other.
Right.
So, as much as we want to.
Which is what everyone needs right now.
Right.
It so is true. Year... Get your aggression out, and let's face it. When you throw your balls around, there's germs going to be involved anyway. So
let's do it. I'm vaccinated.
Okay.
I'm down.
I'll throw my balls around.
Oh.
So, this year was summer camp.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of people in the center that like camping, love camping, go camping regularly, have campers. Like, it's a big thing for our center. So, yeah, the theme is summer camp. We decorated it with, like, outdoor lights and, like, fun little, I don't know, like, hanging things that are, like, pictures of bears and trees
yeah.
and tents. And then nice. We got, like signs that you would see in, like, a forest preserve for, like, where the camping area, we got those and like put them all over the center.
That's pretty
so.
Awesome, actually.
It's, yeah, it's super fun.
That's pretty awesome.
So we're excited.
Did you also
for
like
it.
Light a fire in your center, like a?
No, but we do have. This will be out after. So, we did get a s'mores maker.
Oh, nice.
To put in the center, and like one day everyone's getting s'mores.
So, I like how you said this will be out after, so that if there's an issue, it's not. It's
no,
not an
it's
issue.
Just I didn't want to ruin the surprise for anybody.
Oh, I see.
Because
okay.
we haven't given that part of the
okay.
gift out yet.
Okay. Nice.
But yeah, like I think the activity today was arts and crafts. So we got supplies for everyone to make friendship bracelets. Like a little book on what patterns to use and stuff. And I'm telling
wow.
you, I know it sounds goofy and like childish, but we've done stuff like this before and everyone loves it.
Yeah.
They're like, "Oh, I get to paint a Christmas ornament. This is so fun." Like I thought people would think it was stupid.
No,
they love it.
I think it would be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's nothing against what we do. I mean, I don't pay that much attention a lot of times when it comes to what we're doing because
mm-hmm.
I come in and I don't notice or whatever. And I feel like sometimes other people are making more effort maybe
right.
to do activities or whatever. I'm terrible about that stuff. So I forget all about it, or I didn't see it, or I didn't take the time to look at it. So I'm like, okay, I want to work and let's do our thing, you know.
Right.
Nothing against what anybody else wants to do, but those all actually sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a rough year. We lost a couple of people, and we have a new hire and another new hire coming on soon. So I don't want to say that we were trying to, like, you know, go big or...
Right.
make it better than previous years, but I really wanted this year to be special for everyone, mm-hmm. I guess, kind of, because it has been such a difficult year and everyone's pretty exhausted.
Right.
I felt the same way.
Yeah.
So I was like, this will be fun, summer camp, like, why not? I think it'll be cool.
No, I think it's an awesome idea. I think, I don't know, it sounds like a blast, actually.
Yeah, we decorate every year, or every holiday anyway, like we decorate the center.
Yeah.
And we actually have, our wellness committee took over decorations for, they're doing it monthly now.
Okay.
So like last month, they did an amazing job. They got watering cans and put like fake flowers in the watering cans and hung them from the ceiling. So it looked like they were like watering. I don't know. It was really
right.
cute. And it was like, there was a thing on the window that said like Mayflowers, and it was adorable, and everyone loves it, and it just kind of, like, brightens everything up and
yeah.
makes everyone kind of happy to come in because it's a nice space to work in.
Right.
Everything looks super cute.
Hmm.
And then, yeah, we were joking about how I had posted this on the HTH page that we have a skeleton that we just decided not to take down one year.
Yeah.
And we kept dressing him up in different themed outfits for the holidays. I haven't posted a picture yet. I'll have to put it up. He's in a raincoat now. He's got like a child's raincoat and rain hat on for spring.
Nice. Slim's got an eating disorder or something. Is that
He has a name tag and everything.
How the hell do you put a name tag? Because he's wearing a shirt?
Clothes on? Think it's just stuck to his ribs. Oh. Like, I don't know.
Just stick to your
ribs. Now we're all excited to see, like, ooh, what holiday costume is he going to wear next month? Like, we're going to dress him up like Uncle Sam in July. And yeah, I don't know. We're weird. I'm sorry. Anyway, that was a random tangent, but.
It's all good.
Yeah. Anyway. So what did you pull up here, Brendan?
I pulled up the Friday the 13th theme song. Because
Why?
Of your summer camp. But I forgot what the theme was, so I didn't want to play it and it'd be stupid, so I just didn't play it. My first thought went to Michael Myers, and I'm like, well, that's not the same theme.
Right. I'm like, so. As I'm talking about this, he's like aggressively Googling something, and I'm like, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Right. No.
So, Brendan, what class did you just take?
I did the CMCP certification, Center Management Certification Program through NENA. It was a very intense week-long program that covered pretty much every facet of managing a center.
Really?
It was very intense. I don't have experience managing a center, so all of this was most of it was pretty foreign to me. And I remember our first day, we had to do like an organizational chart based off of a fake center that they gave to us.
Okay.
And they teamed us up in groups, and my group only had one other person. Her name was Amber. She's awesome. Amber, if you're listening, hello.
Hello, Amber.
Hi, Amber.
Brendan's She's the manager friend. At Central Illinois Regional Dispatch Center. Near around Springfield, I want to say.
So this was in person?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, Amber was a person.
No, this was in person.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I thought you said a person. I was going to be like, is
Amber a human? Or just kidding. No, sorry.
She's a robot. She's a robot. Total robot. So we got together, and I'm, like, just reading through. I'm very meticulous. I like to take my time, make sure I'm doing things right. And she is just, like, a spitfire. Like, she had the whole fucking thing laid out. And I'm like, okay, so we have a director and then telecommunicator. She's like, I'm done. Here you go. Okay.
Yeah.
So great, she was amazing.
Awesome.
She was amazing.
So Amber's a go-getter is what we're saying.
She is, and she's a sweetheart too. So we had 5 days worth of stuff, and we had homework every single day. And it took me a long time to do a lot of it. We had quizzes with an exam. At the end, I had to do an action item, which was basically presenting something to the board for something I wanted. As a director. So mine was a training budget increase to send people to a conference. We had two final projects. The first was a solo project, and we had to do a press briefing. I'm already like, I go into this class and I'm like already thinking I'm way out of my element here because I have no experience, and I know that everyone that's here is going to be in a supervisory or management role. And everyone was. There were some directors there as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to suck at this. And that's why I was so meticulous in doing everything, because I wanted to make sure I was putting forth my best effort and not overlooking anything and trying to think outside the box. And, you know, I wanted to be not competitive, but I wanted to be able to try to match the skill level of the other people that were there
based on
their experience.
You didn't want to look like a buffoon.
No.
That's what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't want people to think that I wasn't taking it seriously, or I'm just like, oh, whatever, I don't care about this. So, yeah. A lot of homework, lots of shit. My presentation, sorry, we got off track there, was a press briefing, and it had to be 1 to 3 minutes on a topic of our choice. They recommended that it be something factual that we actually had happen at our center.
Okay.
Right.
Because it makes it easier to follow along with the story. You don't have to make something up and then try to remember what it was that you
sure.
made.
Sure.
So I writing did our COVID
Yeah,
thing.
I had a feeling that's what you're going to say.
So mine was about 2.5 minutes. And at the beginning of the week, again, I was super nervous trying to, you know, meet everyone where they were at their level.
Yeah.
And then after talking to people there and, you know, forming relationships with them and really great group of people, I was more comfortable. So come Friday, I'm like, let's do this shit, you know?
Right.
So I give mine and I have this like adrenaline dump. While I'm up there.
Of course.
Got so shaky. I'm
like,
yeah.
Like, I wasn't nervous.
Yeah.
But my body was like, okay, you're doing it.
It didn't know what to do with
yourself
the adrenaline.
Up so yeah. much. Yeah.
Yeah. I had like all this energy, you know, so I'm giving it. At the beginning, I can hear my voice kind of shaking. And at the end, it kind of died down. And they asked, they're like, what did you notice about yourself? And that's the first thing I said was like, you know, I feel like I sounded nervous, you know. And they're like, well, you did a little bit at the beginning, but then you kind of, you know, petered out there. And I'm like, okay, great. So... that was that. I was happy with that. And then our group performance. Our group.
Group number.
Wow. Okay.
Channeling my
flash mob.
Musician life.
It was a tap piece. Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Jazz hands.
That's right.
We had to do a consolidation.
Oh.
We had to do a presentation on a consolidation.
All right.
Presentation on a consolidation.
Yes. So we were given...
that's a lot of information.
It was our large group. There was about 7 or 8 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had our own... we brought our individual groups that we had, like the group Amber and I were in,
mm-hmm.
with the other groups, and we combined those centers into one center.
Okay.
So we had to talk about all of it. We had to talk about the cost. We had to talk about hiring.
Yeah.
Organizational structure. We had to do a mission statement, core values, definitions for those.
Ugh.
All of that. Holy shit, you know?
Yeah.
So it was very, like, at the beginning, I'm just like, I'm not going to be able to do this, you know? And I sort of blame Amber a little bit, you know, because she was just on it. And I'm
right.
like, I'm going to fucking fail at this because I cannot operate
She's
at that
like
speed
thinking
right now,
of everything.
You know?
And
yeah.
You're
and
like,
she was,
I don't know.
She had just taken her NIMS courses. The same ones
oh,
that you
good.
Were.
Oh, good. No wonder.
And she was like, well, I just took NIMS 400 or whatever. And she says, we just did organizational charts. So I'm all good with that. And I'm like, okay. So, but then we had some others in the group that I don't want to say took it less seriously, but were more like level, I guess.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was a nice balance.
Sure.
And
yeah.
It made it easier for me to like feel that I fit in there.
Right.
Somewhere. You know? Because I think I'm good at this stuff, even though I've never done it. I think
yes.
I would be very good at it. But you're putting me
Says
in a situation.
Says the founder of this organization.
Oh my God.
Right. I think I might be okay at this.
You're putting me in a situation where I've never done it before with people who have, you know. So
right.
It's just, it's me getting in my head and thinking I'm not worthy to be here, you know. So, but it was fun. It was hectic. It was busy. But some great people that
yeah.
were there. I made some good friends.
Do you feel like there was a good takeaway from that? Like you
oh, yeah.
gained a lot of perspective mm. on managing
I'm already
a center?
Working on things to either talk to my director about.
I love that about training. Oh. When you go back to your center and you're like, I have all the ideas.
Right.
Every idea, I have all of them.
Yeah.
I thought of it.
So I have that. And then I have some things that I'm just going to send out to the dispatchers in the room about some of the stuff that I learned that they can, you know.
Right.
Start
utilize.
To understand and use. And
that's really cool.
Get an idea.
And this was the, sorry, it was the NINA
CMCP.
Yeah.
What does that stand?
Center Management Certification Program.
Center Management
it was a week
Certification
long?
Program.
It was a week long.
Where yeah. was it at?
This one was at Ducom in DuPage County.
Okay.
They've had like 3 or 4 that they hosted this year alone.
Well, Ducom's a big agency, so
big.
They have the.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Have you been there?
No.
Oh, wow.
I would love to go because they have. If I'm not mistaken, they have a tactical dispatch team.
Really?
I would love to be part of that team.
I know.
It's amazing. It's so cool. Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know.
They,
we...
like their own team.
Yeah.
It's
wow.
not
I
like a turd.
That.
It's not. It's their own people.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to hear more about that. Because I've said for a long time, this is something we've talked about. And you have to get the right people above you, especially when you start talking about if you're part of a police agency, right? Versus a standalone center. You know, your standalone center, you can train people to do whatever you want and pull it off. But when you work for an actual agency, as part of that agency, there's still that mentality of holding on to, police should be the only people to do this role.
Right.
Right. And I understand there are a number of things I agree with. I still think they would be cool for some of us to do, but right. I also get why it's that way, because there's certain things that have to be followed, and they already have the other training that allots for that, and it fits right in with it. But when we start talking about things like tactical dispatching or hostage negotiation, like, this is what we do day in and day out. We talk to people, and we're constant. Everything's a negotiation. It just really is, essentially. It's just different levels of negotiation.
Just trying to get people to cooperate with you for five seconds.
And the reality is, and this is nothing against any police officer at all, because obviously we support the police, but we talk to way more people in a given day than they ever do.
We do.
Right. You know, yeah. Now they're talking to them in a different situation, but you know, I probably talk to more people than half of our units talk to in a day.
Right, because you're handling the whole agency, whereas you're only sending them on one call at a time.
And we're filtering out calls, and we're doing all kinds of stuff. You know, they only see a percentage of what we actually send to them.
Same thing with us, because we're a consolidated agency.
Of course.
We're dealing with departments that have nothing to do with them.
Right, right.
So,
It's, you know, there's certain things that as dispatchers we do for a living. Yes. Could we use some additional training on that? Of course. Why wouldn't we? But so would your people, you know? So there's certain things I think, and there was a training that we had gone to. Actually, I haven't seen much of their stuff, so I don't even know if the company is around, but the guy that started it was out of California.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how they trained their trainers and the things that they were able to do. And he was able to talk to their command staff when they started a new department and get like three of their dispatchers to be hostage negotiators that actually go out in a trailer with the people that get called in to help out with that, because who better, you know?
Right.
I mean, I think in some situations, having a non-uniformed person there helps, because it de-escalates things a little bit.
It could.
And I understand you can have a non-uniformed police officer show up as well.
Right.
But they're still in that police officer mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a civilian, I'll just say civilian because it could be anyone, a dispatcher, a social worker, whatever, wouldn't be.
Non-sworn.
A non-sworn person. Yeah. I think it really, in some situations, helps and de-escalates.
Sure.
Because
it takes effort, though. This is where it downfalls. So there's the older school mentality that these are the jobs that we do. Nobody should touch them. Okay.
Right.
And I understand back in the day that made the most sense. But everything's evolving. So I think it takes an effort from your command staff, your administration, and everything to want to be able to make that happen and understand the purpose and the need and the value in having certain people be involved.
Yes.
You can't always convince people of that, unfortunately.
Right.
And it takes people to put their egos aside, which I think is the biggest factor.
Yeah. Recognizing the need for a change.
Right. Like, this is your role. This is my role. How do we work together to achieve the bigger picture?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, the problem with a lot of agencies is how dispatchers are viewed.
Correct.
You know, we don't trust them. They're not good at their jobs. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Right.
But
they're not paying attention.
Right. At the same time, those thoughts come from a place of not knowing what it is that we do.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't like that perception, because they don't know what we're doing.
Right.
You know, come in and see what we're doing, you know, and if this is what your thought is, that you don't think that you know what we're doing, or that you don't like how we're doing something, then take that moment to talk to us about it, you know,
right,
so that we can figure something out that's better. Yeah. You know, but don't use it as something to hold yourself up on a higher pedestal and not meet us in the middle to get the job done.
Correct.
You know, because all it's doing at the end of the day is hindering the work that needs to be done. And we're not getting better. We're not progressing. It's also the same shit.
It's also creating a divide. It is. And one of the things I've said multiple times over the last few months, and most recently as of like 3 days ago, and we even talked a little bit about this before the podcast in our BS session, is, you know, COVID changed a lot of things and it created separation. So the thing that you guys aren't able to do, and we're not able to go to roll call anymore and see our people face to face.
Right.
So it's just like the masks I was saying earlier has depersonalized a lot of stuff in society. The separation from us, from our people, has also created that feeling, that disconnection, right? We're not connected to them in the way, not quite in the way that we were before, because we don't see them on a day-to-day basis. So now we just become a voice, and to a lot of them, not all of them. Right. Some are more than willing to call up and talk and work things out. They'll listen to you. And even if you call them to talk to them and say, hey, what happened on this call? They'll gladly tell you. But there's way less effort and connection in that. So you start taking that stuff away, and then there's more, and you just become, you know, like I don't want to say a number because that doesn't make sense, but you know what I'm saying. It is,
yeah.
You know?
Like, because I've noticed the dynamic has definitely changed. We've had new officers that have.
Putting it, actually.
We've had new officers that have come in that haven't worked for us very long, and they've only worked for us while the COVID thing has been going on.
Yeah.
So they haven't had the opportunity to come in and just kind of like hang out for a few minutes and talk. And we've had a couple of instances in the last few weeks where I was helping like a veteran officer with something and was able to locate information for him that he wasn't able to locate previously.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, super grateful. Oh my God, thank you so much. I've been trying to find this for a week. I really appreciate all your hard work. Whereas I have a new officer who is like putting in his notes that he can't locate the offender and that's the end of his story. And I'm like,
right.
You know, you can ask and I can help you with that, right? And he's like, what would you do differently? And I'm like, if you don't ask, I can't help you.
Yeah.
But do you realize... Do you know the set of skills that I have? Like,
that's right.
It's literally settle my down, job Liam to Neeson. Find people.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I will find you.
They literally, like, they think I'm there to copy their traffic stops, and that's it.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, a little offended by that, because I'm like, I can do so many other things. I can do so much more. And you don't even think I can copy a plate correctly?
It's, like, yes. And, you know, I've said this for a long time, and I don't know how to convince people of it or even get the floor to talk about it, is... When we have new hire personnel from the, you know, the police officer side, they come in and they do a sit-along.
Right.
It's part of their requirement. Yep. Usually it's before they ever go off to the academy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we never see them come in by us ever again.
Right.
So everything they learned that day, first off, didn't make a damn bit of sense to them because they haven't had any training.
All nonsense.
And they can't tie it. Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, yeah, this is crazy.
Totally different language.
You know, and then that's it.
Yeah.
So just like it should, I feel like it should be a requirement for us to do ride-alongs at least on an annual basis with our officers in different areas. It should be a requirement for them to do at least 4 hours.
For the longest time now, I have been saying, and I need to do it. I need to just talk to my manager and do it. Our officers have issues with their MDTs constantly, right?
Yeah.
They're telling us all the time, I can't find this information that you supposedly put somewhere in it. I want to go sit in one of their cars and walk through their MDT with them.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure if I went through it, I'd be able to figure out the stuff that they're constantly missing. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really funny.
I'm not suggesting that they're stupid.
No.
I'm just saying I'm so used to dealing with that end of it.
Right.
That I probably know where to locate and some of that stuff.
Not only so, when we got our first system, not our first system, when we got the system we currently have, it was 2013. And at the time, I was on the midnight shift, and we had a deputy who's no longer a deputy. He just decided to move on. He didn't want to be a deputy anymore. Mm-hmm. He came in and actually worked with us as to what's showing up on his laptop and how it gets there and what we see and are able to do on our end. And we created a whole way of doing things for everybody that made sense to do. And that was awesome. We've gone away from that, even though we still have the same system. Everybody that gets trained does it a different way, you know, so it's like, well, why are you doing this? If you can, and I always say this, if you can type it in the notes, you can type it in the appropriate field on your computer.
And that's, right? I'm constantly hearing from my guys that the information we put in the complainant field isn't visible to them.
Yeah, right.
That could be the case. I'm not doubting that. However, I would like to double check their MDT and make sure that that is actually the case.
Correct.
Right.
And then we have an issue right now where all of our officers are saying their addresses aren't gridding. And I'm like, there's got to be a step in there that you're missing because it's gridding on my end. I can, if I just click the grid button and it grids.
Right.
So I'm not sure what you're doing incorrectly, but like,
our officers, let me go through. Our officers can't grid anything.
That's how our terminals are.
So we have to touch every single call that gets entered to make sure it's gridded.
Right. Every well, and they, like, half of our departments know how to add their own report numbers. The other half say that they can't.
Yeah.
You've got the same MDTs.
Right. What's the issue?
So clearly there's some sort of
miscommunication
there. Non-communication there.
We've had that, and I know certain people know how to do certain things.
Right.
With us, in fact, we have a deputy. She used to be a dispatcher at a different agency and used the same system. So I've talked to her before. I'm like, hey, can you show so-and-so how to do this? Because I know you know how to do it.
Right.
In fact, she showed me how to do something once as a dispatcher when she was a deputy. Yes. She goes, no, you can do that. And I was always told, no, that's not, we can't do that. Mm. And it was hysterical, actually, because she showed me how to do it. I was like, well, son of a bitch, you can do this.
You know?
And, but see, the problem was we used to use the CAD that you guys use, Kaylee.
Right,
and
yeah.
Everything was built, there were forms built in, you did it this way. We rarely went to the state system through the browser that we currently have to do. So when she said, this is what you do, I was like, wow. And then I actually had a supervisor give me a look like, we can do that? I go, yes. Okay. I was like, oh, wow, what's going to happen now?
You know how they say, like, everyone should have to work retail at some point in their life.
Yeah.
Every officer should have to sit in dispatch for, like, a week. Honestly. Yeah.
No, I think it should be part of training for all of us. Because
and the other way around, yes. Dispatchers should also have to go on ride-along.
Before we ship you off for a couple months.
I feel like it should be like a 4-hour recertification every year or every 2 years as part of their normal training rotation. You come and sit in there for 4 hours. Plus, guess what? You get to meet a lot of the people that you don't even know who they are.
Right.
We've had new people and you never see them because they work a different shift.
Right.
And you're like, who the hell is this person? I've had people go, who is that? Oh, that's our trainee. Or that's so-and-so. When did they start? Oh, like 9 months ago.
Right.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. Well, yeah, because you don't take the time to bother to figure it out. Again, you just want to do your thing and go about it. But it doesn't make it any better. So I don't know. I wish there was the opportunity to sit down with people and anybody that's listening that's in any kind of command role or administrative role for your department, would change a lot of things. It would help communication between them. And that's all that it boils down to. That's what it boils down to because there's a lot of assumptions made on both sides of the radio, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of assumptions made on our side too. Like they didn't answer my radio traffic. Well, would you listen to the radio? Jesus, quit fucking around. And that's not necessarily it. Maybe they didn't hear it. Maybe it's really loud where they're at. Maybe they're really busy with the person. You know, so we take it personally sometimes. And it's like, well, no, you need to step back. Even though you want to bitch about it to start off with, you've got to go, okay, hang on.
Right.
So I think it's from it's empathy, right? Ultimately is what it is because you're sitting there and you have an understanding of what's happening and what's being done and how you can do it. And maybe now you understand why it's stupid to ask us for something because it's futile or whatever, but I don't know.
We've had that happen a lot more recently.
Yeah.
Where we have dispatchers and officers that are kind of like,
at
snipping
odds.
At each other.
Yep. Yeah.
Because of something stupid.
Well, that's never happened to me.
And it's getting so frustrating. Because it's like, you guys, oh my God, you're fighting about the dumbest shit, and now you have this. And I'm guilty of it too.
Yeah.
If an officer pisses me off, like, sometimes I'll hold a little bit of a grudge for a while.
Yeah.
And I'll be a real, like, I'll do everything precisely right all the time to make sure that they don't have anything to complain about.
Right. Like, yeah. I don't care if they
complain. But passive aggressively.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I'll give them their calls like 60-2-95. You have a domestic, and like, I'm just an ass about it.
Oh my God.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
Because like, one time they're like, I couldn't understand you. I'm like, oh, okay. Here we go. Yeah.
I couldn't understand you. And that's so funny that you say that, because that's exactly the example I just gave. Maybe they actually couldn't understand you.
Right.
It's so funny.
One of our officers was just asking me yesterday, like, do you have a hard time understanding so-and-so on the radio? And he was talking about one of his fellow officers. And I was like, yes, however, I think it's the way he's holding his radio. And he was like, yeah. I think so too.
Right.
Because their radios are on their vest right here.
Mm-hmm.
And the mic is pointing out away from their chest.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think what's happening, we were talking about this. I'm like, I think what's happening is he's pointing it towards his mouth when he's talking.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of his transmission, he actually drops it before he's done talking.
Yeah.
So we always miss the last part. He'll be talking, and then the last part of it is...
Right.
And we're like, what? Right. What was that last traffic?
It's got to be consistent. Because those radios, especially if you have the radio systems like we have, they're very good at picking up a lot of stuff and blocking some stuff out.
Yes.
But if you take the mic and wave it around, it's now adjusting and everything's going to get screwed up.
Right.
So our guys have always been said, just talk where it's at, press the button. You don't have to put it up to your mouth like you used to have to back in the day or whatever. Right. Just do it this certain way.
You have to like block the wind and like.
And if it's that way, it's going to pick up what you're saying. And then if we have to adjust, we go from there. But some people are, even though we've had the radios for however many years now, they just whatever, don't hear that piece of it.
Yeah.
And they just go in and mush mouth it. It's like, well, okay. This is why I'm asking you to repeat your trap. I'm not doing it to be a pain in the ass.
Right.
But kind of I am now, because you've been told how many times. So now right. I'm just going to push it.
I remind the deputy sometimes. I'm like, you know, the only time that we ask you to repeat your traffic is when nobody in this room heard what you said.
Right.
It's not just me that's listening to you.
Yeah.
Because sometimes your brain just does not compute.
Right.
Like that happens all the time where you're. Like, you hear the traffic, and we have this happen all the time. I think you were talking about it. Sometimes in your ear is more difficult to hear than it coming through a speaker at
you. Oh, absolutely. It certainly is. People will listen to... So I was going to say two things. I was going to say one thing, but now that you brought that up, you are 100% correct. You go listen to it back in the playback, and you're like, how the hell did I not hear that?
Right.
And the problem is because you're hearing it direct. The other one has gone through this system, and now it's saved here so you can listen to it so it comes out clearer. The other thing that I noticed, which was really weird, so about a year ago, year and a half ago, maybe it's been 2 years, we got these nice headsets where they came out and put a bunch of shit in your ear, and they made you a molded earpiece that actually fits into your ear.
Right.
And it's really cool. But I noticed, and I didn't notice it right away because I thought, oh, this is great. But at least over the last several months, if not longer, I noticed I was having trouble hearing what they were saying. And I'm like, and it was like every other thing. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Am I getting too old for this shit? I can't hear anymore. And I switched back to a traditional on the ear, you know, earpiece, like, you know, Sony Walkman headphone style. It's on my ear with the microphone.
Right.
And I hear so much better now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it feels like I'm truly, when I don't hear what somebody's saying, it's truly them mush mouthing it, you know? And I can't tell for sure yet if it's because I made that change or my brain is now forcing listening to better. I don't know. But I've had it for probably 3-4 weeks now, and it's so much better.
We have that happen all the time where my partner is sitting police.
Yeah.
Someone pulls a traffic stop, and she's like, I did not understand anything he just said. And I'm like, I did, and I'm sitting 10 feet away.
Yeah.
And it's not that she's not hearing it. She just, like, her brain is, like, not computing what was just said, but I'm hearing it sort of as, like, ambient noise.
Right.
And I pick it up.
You know, I really think, so, you know, as we're talking, so obviously we're talking a little bit about training here today, and that's the whole idea, you know. I feel like, and this isn't specific training, but I feel like sometimes I've heard other people answer, and I'm like, how the hell did you hear that? First off, you didn't have it on your unselected speaker, so I didn't hear it come out of your speaker back right there, and you're not listening. How did you understand it? Or my partner hears it, and if you listen to it back, it's not clear.
Right.
But sometimes I also feel like they pick up on the cadence of the word, yep, of the person, and they decipher it. That scares me a little bit, because you're telling me now this is what they said, but you didn't actually hear the words. You heard the cadence of what they said and how they said it, not what they actually said. Mm. Is that accurate? Is it not accurate? You know, so then I'm like,
we were just having that conversation at work yesterday, because one of the officers mentioned, he was still talking about the officer, that he's like, can you understand him? Because, like, we can't understand him. And he's newish, not that new.
Yeah.
But he came from another department. So he occasionally uses terms or phrases or even 10 codes that we don't typically use.
Right. Right.
And he's like, I feel like I can never understand him. And I'm like, it's because he's not saying what you're expecting him to say.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're right. I never even considered that. Like, he's saying things out of order.
Yes.
Or in a weird way that we, and I'm like, we've gotten used to it.
You're right.
Because we listen to it constantly.
Yeah.
You guys aren't listening to it all right the time. And he's like, it's such a weird. And I'm like, I try to explain that I have a trainee right now. And I was trying to explain that to her, because she's a month yesterday.
Okay.
And she did call taking first. We just moved on to fire dispatch yesterday. And she was saying, like, I feel like I can't understand anything on the radio. And I'm like, that's normal. And she's like, are you sure? I feel like I'm somehow messing this up. And I was like, no, it's normal. None of it's going to sound like anything recognizable to you, because you've never heard it before.
And that's not how you speak normally. So
right.
You take phone calls, it's like a conversation that you would normally have.
Right. I was saying, like, I forget sometimes that we speak a totally different language than what people are used to.
Yeah.
So when I'm using terms like CAD or MABIS or like to facility time at, like, that doesn't mean anything to her.
Right. Right.
And I was like, you know, when I start training people, I try to go through some of that stuff the first day, especially if they're coming from not dispatch or not law enforcement.
Yeah.
You know, if they're coming from, oh, I used to work at Home Depot. Okay, so this is all a totally different animal to you. Like, let's go through some common terms.
Right.
So I was just, like, trying to explain, you know, like, CAD is computer-aided dispatch. It's a software program that you load on your computer. It helps us keep track of our incidents, because some people just go in and they're like, oh, here's your CAD login, so this is CAD, and everyone's talking about CAD, and you're like, what the fuck is a CAD? Everyone keeps talking about it. Right. I don't know what it is.
Are you saying cat?
Right.
Is it a cat? Why and do we deal with so many cats around here?
We were laughing.
I haven't seen it anywhere.
Because I'm very careful about going over MABIS with people, because especially in fire training.
Okay.
I remember when I was in fire training, my trainer kept talking about MABIS. She just kept referring to MABIS.
Yeah. I've never met her.
I literally thought it was a person.
Is she coming in at some point?
Right. I didn't know what that was. I thought she was talking about a person.
Yeah.
So then no one ever said to me until years later, it's Mutual Aid Box Alarm System. That's what MABIS is. And I'm like, M-A-B-A-S. Got it.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about MABIS with my trainee, I'm telling her, like, yes, MABIS. I remember having this issue in training. I didn't know what the hell anyone was talking about. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of laughing. She's like, yeah, it sounds like a person's name. Later that day, there was a MABIS call out nearby. And in the notes of their CAD incident, whoever had typed it out had typed in MAVIS, M-A-V-I-S. And I'm like, I bet you that's a new dispatcher.
Yeah.
Whose trainer told them, put in the notes, it's MABIS 12-2.
Yeah.
So they just typed it out, and then they're like, I don't know what that means, but someone told me to type. Because no one would say MAVIS, M-A-V-I-S.
Right.
I could see a typo like M-A-V-A-S.
Yeah.
But no, someone misheard the word. So it's stuff like that. Like, you forget that these people don't speak the same language that you speak, and you have to start teaching them the basics.
Right. Right.
Like even her, our mouse is one of the rollerball. Yeah.
Welcome to rollerball.
Which she's never used before. I had never used before. I started in dispatch.
Yeah.
And she's like, I feel like.
Are you talking like the big track ball?
Yeah.
That's on it? Oh, okay.
She's like, I feel like you almost feel like you're missing a limb because you're like, I can't move. I don't know how this moves. I'm used to doing this.
Yeah.
So the rollerball thing doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm like, you'll get used to it. And she's like, am I stupid? No. I'm like, no, you're not stupid.
No, you're not.
Yes.
Your organization is using old technology.
Right.
Get a mouse.
That's all, well, no, she has no experience, so.
No, I understand. You're trying to teach her how to use a fucking trackball. I didn't even think they made those things anymore. You know what I do?
No.
I go into my mouse sensitivity and I crank that shit up. So I move half an inch, it goes across three or six screens. Boom, yes. Boom. I'm there. Boom.
All right, I hate the slow where you're like doing this to get across the screen.
Right. I've stretched myself out by 6 feet. Okay, there it is. Click that shit.
Well, there. I think we have three or four mice at our stations.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that one, we only have two screens. So, I don't know. It's not that difficult to navigate across, but.
Maybe why do you have so many mice if you only have, if you have two screens?
One for the phone, one for the radio. So I guess we have three.
How many CAD screens do you have?
Two.
Wow.
So you have two CAD screens and then one phone screen and one radio screen.
Monitors, yeah.
Okay.
So four total, but the other two on the sides are touch screens.
How big are your monitors?
19 inch.
Wow.
I know.
We have six 21 inch monitors.
What the fuck are you looking at?
Everything.
We're watching you from our console every day.
That's right.
Yeah.
You just have a live.
There's Kaylee.
A live feed of our center your center.
Oh, yeah, we narrate
just
it.
Satellite feed of everyone at all times.
What the hell are you watching?
It's not watching.
Cat takes up three screens.
Our
by
cat,
itself.
Yes. So we have a giant screen for all our units that are working. We have the call screen that comes up that you're entering the calls or reading the notes from the call. We have a window that. When you run subjects or whatever, it's a whole separate window. And then in that window, so it's a separate window that comes up for your subjects and stuff that are part of the call. We have a second one that you can run plates and people and all this other stuff in, and that gives you all of the results. So this is all, and then there's three other windows plus two command prompts. That's just CAD. Then we have our in-house system that we have up just in case. Now with COVID, we have Teams that has to be up. Outlook has to be up because we get we get all of our Julie locates and that kind of stuff comes into our fax system. Fax system.
Pretty crazy you guys don't have a
plus
fax
our
machine.
Emails.
Leads receiver.
Our leads receiver. So our state system for those of you that don't know. Also, we have to have a browser window up to use leads for the most part if we're entering stuff or running certain things.
Maps.
All the
We
all
have all that stuff. Maps. It's just all layered on top of each other.
Yeah, that sounds like a huge pain in the ass.
And we have
we're spoiled.
Our buttons at the bottom, so like when we need our email, we just click that and it pops up in front of our face.
I like because we're spoiled. I like, and I train my trainees on this. I'm like, I want you to use my setup for your first week with me.
Yep.
So that you can see how you like it. Not just one day so that you can finish the day and be like, this sucks because I'm not used to it.
Right.
I want you to do it for the week so that you can see how it actually works for you and then determine if you want to keep it, if you want to go back, or if you want to make your own hybrid.
Right.
But I like to have everything up so that it's not hidden by something else because I don't want to miss...
So that is how our CAD works. Like the way our CAD is set up. And I do the same thing with my trainees. I actually make them keep it like that for the duration of their training. And I tell them it's because, and this is true. Sorry, I'm eating an apple fritter.
Yes, she is.
If I have to jump onto their CAD to help them with something, I want to be able to do that and not be confused about where all the windows are.
Right.
But the CAD is set up so that nothing is ever hidden. Like, there's no window that's ever behind another window.
Yeah.
All the other supplemental shit that we use is. Because I don't need rapid SOS in front of my face 24/7. I only need it up when I'm actually doing something
well,
with it.
Well, but you guys are... How many people are working at a time in your room?
Three.
So, we're working with anywhere from... If provided we're not sure. Yeah, anywhere from usually 5 to 7 people. And they're set up differently. So people will have screens set up a certain way to use them for certain things, and they won't have other stuff up. So, you know, if they're dispatching, they're dispatching. So they're always going to be using certain stuff. Other people are just call taking, you know, or call taking. I shouldn't say just. I hate that. So
they're only call
they're
taking.
Holding. Yeah, they're only call taking for that day. So they're using it differently than what each person is. So layering it for us just doesn't. I've tried it.
Yeah.
Because there's been times. So like we'll work the county fair, you know, and that's in a command trailer with, you know, some monitors from 1972 that they pieced together so that you can dispatch while you're at the county fair.
It's like running DOS still.
And you got two of them, you know, you got two of them and that's it. Oh, this is the only two monitors you're going to have. Okay. I'm used to working with 6 regular ones plus 2 more for my phone and stuff. So here's a handheld radio and here's an old school headset for you to make calls on. You're like, okay, what is this shit? Or use your cell phone. All right. And it's just difficult.
Right.
Like, some people don't use all the screens, which I don't understand how they make it work. It's like, to me, to go open something up is a hassle. And I just want it open now so that I don't have to mess around. And I also don't want to have to go down and find it on my menu to bring it up and then minimize it and go back and forth. If I have it all up, I can just go click on it, use it, move back to where I want it.
See, and for me, that would be too, it would be too overstimulating.
However, for you guys can hit a command key, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
No matter where you're at in your Windows, you could be in your email, in Outlook, and hit that button and it takes you right to your CAD.
Yes.
Ours cannot.
Okay.
It's straight up mouse click, got to get over there, or alt tab it to get to the window that you want to do if you're able to do that.
I mean, everything we're doing is stimulating as it is. Having all of that shit in front of me constantly, my brain would hurt.
Yeah. But you have it. I mean, you have 2 screens right now with all that stuff. Right. There. It's not blinking or doing anything. It's just there.
So. And I'd be like, what monitor is this on? Like, I would just be super confused.
It's like sitting with like a 16 screen TV, like right in front of your face.
Right.
Essentially is what we have.
That's wild.
It's interesting. So I know we got off on a tangent, but it all has to do with training. Do you feel like your class is worth it, B?
Oh, absolutely. I would recommend it.
CMCP for Mina. Now, you took a class, what, 2 years ago, was it? Another class?
Yes, I did.
That was a year long, right?
Yeah, I did my RPL through APCO.
Okay.
That was a year long. There was like 6 different modules or courses within it.
Right.
It did last a year. It was also very intense. Not quite as intense as CMCP. Ty Wooten, who taught CMCP, he said that he's talked to college professors who said that... the amount of information that's presented in this week-long course is synonymous with a semester of college.
Sure.
And after taking it, like, legit, I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah.
RPL was more like college courses, each of them. They were about 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, depending on which one you were doing. Each one had a final project. Some of them were solo projects. Some of them were group projects. And then you had your service project, which was something that you had to do that you worked on for the entire year that was to the benefit of your industry as a whole. And that could be working on an APCO committee or setting up your agency to be certified somehow. And I started HCH. That was my service project.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, my manager wants me to take the ENP, which we were... Yes. Someone had mentioned that because I wasn't sure what that was. We had to look it up. It's emergency number professional.
Yes. And that isn't a class. It's just a test. It is a very difficult test. A lot of people have to take it more than one time before they pass it. It's very, like, all the, like, RPL and CMCP are more designed for center management.
Well, whereas I think ENP is technical. It's like, Lindsay was describing it to me. It's like very, I think it's self-paced. Like you have materials to study.
Yes. And there's study groups like Tracy Eldridge has a study group that's, I believe, starting this month.
Yeah.
Colorado has slides. I think you can get from the APCO website. I'll have to double check that. It might be on YouTube as well. I'm not sure. I'll double check. But it is self-paced because there's no class format. You study until you're ready to take the test.
Right.
But it's proctored, I believe.
Yes.
So you can't use your notes, and you're taking it in front of somebody, so you can't cheat. There's like 150 questions, and you have to get 105 right or something like that to pass. But they say it's very hard. And the questions are designed to sort of trick you up. Like, they're going to give you their multiple choice.
So there's like a one that's more correct than the others.
Like, you're picking the most correct option.
When I took my test for my national test for paramedic, that's the whole goal. Is like, one of these answers is more correct than the rest. Like, they're all technically right. And I hate that because I feel like, what do I gain from that? Like, you want to make sure that I understand the material, not that I memorized it. Like,
right.
So it's that like always like bothers me when like tests do like
but see, I think a lot of them are that way. I have a friend who's been taking classes for a very long time for to be a pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he made it through schooling, finally got through that. But then there's you have to take a state exam,
right?
And then you also have to take a legal exam,
right?
And there's another one that you have to take too, like some sort of math test or something. Outside of passing all of your college courses,
right, the class stuff, is separate.
You still have to go do this test.
Yeah.
And you have to study your ass off for it. You know, and it was difficult for him. And even when I took the real estate classes, they were, it was like a couple months worth of classes here and there. It was in class because I just feel like I learn better that way than trying to self-pace that stuff.
Right.
Especially if it's something new. But the test, same way. You know, it's good. There might be one that's correct, but this one is actually more correct.
Right.
So you have to pick that one or else you get dinged on it. And the problem is when you're done, you don't know which ones you missed, which ones you didn't.
You don't find out. It's you passed or failed. Yeah.
And, you know, that's, it's meant to, like you said, trip you up. And it's kind of, I don't know. I don't like that way of doing things, but then again, that's just me. And actually, passed the federal. I failed the state because it's a little different than the federal. Mm-hmm. So I went back and just crammed for it and passed it. And the reality is most of the shit that you learned in that class has no bearing on anything.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Well, so that's, I just took ICS 300 and 400.
Okay.
And I'm taking it. This is going to sound horrible. I think I'm taking it for TERT. I'm not entirely certain why I'm taking it. I was signed up for it, and I'm pretty sure it was for TERT, but so
she's saying TERT,
TERT, T-E-R-T. Sorry, not TERT.
Tom Edward Robert,
yeah, Tom. Telecommunicator Emergency Response Team, yeah,
not TERT. She's not taking a TERT.
So I did ICS 300. Well, I'm just finished ICS 300, and I am taking the test on Wednesday. I have to study for it because I have to go through and like go back and study all the course objectives, right? And I hate to say this because it's nothing against the class. The class was extremely challenging, but it was good information, and I'm glad that I took it. I will never be an incident commander ever in my career. There's no way that's ever going to happen. So while I appreciate understanding how all of these forms work and how the incident command system works, I had to make up like fake scenarios and assign fake people to those scenarios. And then
so it requires like an intimate knowledge of something that is never going to affect.
And you. I was like, it was the first time that this organization has done this class virtually. So it was a month long. There was assignments every week. At the end of the week, we would meet on Zoom and discuss the assignments. And at one point during the video that we're watching, throughout the week, they give you a presentation to watch. So you watch the presentation. It takes, probably a couple of hours to get through, so you can do it over the course of the week.
Right.
But in one of them, it said, pause the video here and do your assignment that was assigned to you. It should take you about 10 minutes. I pulled up the assignment. I had to complete an entire incident command organizational chart. That took me 2 hours.
That's how I felt with this.
And I'm not kidding. I'm going to be real vulnerable here for a second. I cried because I was like, what am I not getting?
Right.
I was like super stressed out because there's a lot going on right now. But I felt so stupid. And I messaged the instructor and I was like, I don't think I'm getting this. I don't think I'm doing this correctly. And he was like, just do it as best as you can. Like, we'll figure it. The instructors were so awesome. We'll figure it out. Like, we'll talk about it on Friday.
Yeah.
And then come Friday, we all meet for the Zoom class. And there's like five other people that are like, why did they say that assignment would only take 10 minutes? It took me like 2.5 hours. And I was like, okay, so it's not just me. And they're like, no, this is the first time we're doing it in this format. Like, we've never done it virtually before.
Right.
Typically, this chart you would fill out as a group with guidance from the instructor.
Sure.
Oh,
not just like totally if you were doing it in person.
Right.
Whereas you're doing you're it totally to on your own. Out. And I'm like, what? I don't understand.
Maybe update how you're presenting this. Right. So we're not freaking out all week about it. The instructors
were like, they're like, we're sorry. Like, we appreciate everyone's feedback. We're like trying to figure out how to do this correctly. So
guinea pigs.
So yeah, it was, I mean, it was wild. And I'm like, I don't know what we need for a flood. Like, that was the scenario, was there was a huge flood.
Less water.
Yeah. Right. And they're like, what kind of resources would you order? And I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, we had something like that. I think it was last year. So, was it last year? I don't know. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. Somebody called to tell us there was a crack in a lake levee.
Oh, yeah.
In one of our towns. And
you're like, okay.
They need some assistance.
Right.
Okay, I've been doing this 11 years. I never had anybody ask me about what to do about a crack in the lake levee.
Who the hell do we call? Drive the Chevy to the levee?
Never had it. That's right. And drink some whiskey and rye. That's right. Well, we're all going to die anyway because we're just down the street from this lake. So
use of the term levee I've ever heard. So.
I was like, what? Okay. Well, where do we start? So I immediately went to the emergency management agency. I'm like, who do we talk to? Because this is what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know? And they're like, oh, well, it's probably going to be these people, Army Corps of Engineers and blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay. We didn't learn any of that in training.
Right.
Ever. Nobody had the first clue. But guess who got tasked with figuring it out? We did. Here's this stuff. I'm just going to dump it on you. Let us know what you find out. And please get us some help.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I page Public Works. I'm like, I don't know if this is your wheelhouse. I'm assuming not. But
Right. Maybe
you'll know something about it. I don't know. And I called the fire department. So, and this is not a police matter.
I was in this class with a bunch of like fire department personnel and one public works guy. Yeah. And I was the only telecommunicator. So yeah, I was like, I have no idea. I don't know. And again, I appreciate the information and I think it'll be useful to me in the future when I'm doing TERT stuff.
Right.
But I was like, I will never be an incident commander. Therefore, me assigning a PIO to the, like, I don't need to do that. I will never have to do that.
Right.
My little role in the ICS organizational chart will be way far down from the incident. Like, I'll be down here over to the far right corner under like resources, you know, like I'll be the communications unit or something. I'm never going to be towards the top. So I don't need to know how to fill this out. Right. But yeah. So now I'm taking the test for that and I'm doing ICS 400 next week.
Yeah.
Which apparently is more activity-based.
Oh.
And I was like, more activities. The last activities took me like 3 hours a night. So
it's funny. So most classes I don't worry too much about. They, a few years ago as a supervisor, they decided that it would make sense for us to go to. So a lot of the sergeants and stuff, when they become new sergeants, they get sent to the university, Northwestern University here in Illinois. Personnel class. I think it was 2 weeks. I can't remember. It was 1 or 2 weeks. I blurred it out. But they send them there, and then later on in their career as a command officer, they send them to the next iteration,
which is the
staff and command school, which is very in depth.
It is Our manager took that too.
Yeah. Well, they sent us to the 2 week class, the supervision. Police personnel, and I was like,
oh,
you go in there. Yeah, I can't remember. It was 1 or 2 weeks. I was trying to look it up. That's what I was doing. Either way, you're in this room with sergeants, commanders, lieutenants, chiefs, and this stuff, and all of a sudden, here I am. I'm a dispatcher.
Yeah, what do you do?
I'm an assistant supervisor. Yeah, and some people are like, what the hell is this person doing in here? Like,
I think everyone in the ICS class was like, why the fuck is there a dispatcher?
Why is there a dispatcher? Why did they send you to this class?
I had people go.
Why? We don't understand. I don't know. They told us to come to the class. You know, I don't know what the goal
is. Because we're trying. Yes. We're trying to do our jobs better.
Well,
that's really all
actually,
it is.
It wasn't a bad idea. It was interesting to talk with some of these folks. You make really good contacts with people. And It was pretty cool, but it was really weird. And it was funny because during this, there were times they were like, well, how would this work from dispatch standpoint? Like, what would we do here?
Yeah.
Because they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you weren't sitting there, they would have been like,
it would never have been addressed or handled. Yeah.
And it's like, well, this is the deal. So it was actually beneficial, but I felt the same way. You know, I roll up in there and here they're all carrying guns and all this. I'm like, okay. I think there were three of us in that class.
Yeah, I felt like I was way over my head.
So,
I don't want anyone to think that I was like not appreciative of taking that class. I was. It was very informational.
Yeah.
It was just a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very intense. On top of like, we just finished our union negotiations and I'm training a new employee. So there's like, my manager pulled me aside today. She's like, are you okay? I feel like I piled a lot of stuff on you. I was like, yeah. It's going to be a rough couple weeks, but we'll get through it.
So, the old gray mare just ain't what she used to be. You know what I'm saying?
I was like, oh, it's a bit, but we're chugging through it.
Right.
So
that's when you tell her, I feel like you're Jesus. You won't give me more than I can handle. No.
Yeah.
I don't want to give your supervisor or manager a God complex or anything.
No.
When it comes to training, I think a lot of these things are important, and I think some people don't. A lot of people get in this job and they stay here and they don't bother to go to training. Like, I don't see so many people on any other shift going to training. We have a few people on our shift nonstop putting in for training. I think it's great to require certain training, and I also think it's great for people to put in for stuff.
Even if
it makes you uncomfortable, go to it. Mm-hmm. Shit, it doesn't always have to be specific. It could be a leadership class that's not put on by Nina or any of the other organizations, right?
Right.
It could be somebody else completely different that's putting on a leadership class, but if it's beneficial, put in for that stuff, man.
When we just, like, what I really hate about it is when you, our manager will require specific training. Like, she'll find a class that she thinks will definitely benefit all of us. And we'll go in and we'll take the class. And we're all guilty of doing this occasionally. But I hate the people that are doing it just to get their certificate to say that they did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of that where people will take the class. They'll click through all the slides and not even pay attention to what's happening. Then they'll take the little test and print out their certificate. And they're like, thank God that's over with.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you got nothing from that? Like, we're paying for you to take this class and you learned zero things.
Well,
I get if it's like sexual harassment training. Okay. Everyone knows how to not sexually harass people. I don't really need to like take someone, but we don't need to like, you know, take something. Like I learned something today.
Right.
No, I'm very aware of how not to sexually harass people. But if we're taking like a class on like missing and exploited children has a lot of really great training.
Sure.
I would like to take something from that class, like learn something new.
It depends on the person.
Right.
Again, because you're talking about requirements versus choosing to go to the class. Now, if you're a person that chooses and asks to go to a class and then you just want to rush through it to get it done because you didn't want to be at work that day, you're an asshole.
Yep.
Sorry, you're an asshole. You come at me. I don't care. Call me, bitch at me, tell me you're not. You're an asshole.
But that's
you're
shitty.
Wasting money.
It's shitty.
And you created probably overtime because somebody else had to come into work just so you could go to that class.
And do nothing
and not take anything.
And not learn anything.
You asked for it. Take it seriously. Now, you should be taking it all seriously. But I understand the logic sometimes where people, if they feel forced to do it, there's no interest there. So you're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
Because they're not interested in it.
But
so they don't care about it.
On the other side of that, too. And I know I've talked about taking this class before, but a few years ago, my manager asked that myself and another employee go to a dispatcher burnout class.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's, you know how they say if someone offers you a piece of gum, take it because like it means that your breast stings?
Yeah.
Yeah. She asked if I could go to this dispatcher burnout class.
Yeah.
And she never actually said anything out loud about this, but I was like, okay, I guess it's time for me to do this because apparently there's a problem that I'm not seeing. So I went to the class and it was one of Adam Tim's classes and it was wonderful.
Yeah.
And I really like, I went into that class with the knowledge that like my boss is trying to tell me something. So I should probably pay attention in this class and see Like, if I can take anything from it.
That's the right... We all can honestly say that's the right attitude to have.
Yes.
I mean, if anybody says that's not the attitude to have, then they're full of shit. Okay?
Right.
So, that's the right attitude to have.
Yeah.
Some people take it personally, and they're like, fuck you.
And then they're sitting there with their arms out. How crossed. Dare you do yeah. this?
Yeah, so they don't get anything
arms
out
crossed,
of it.
Arms crossed, scowl on their face, didn't get anything out of the
because
class.
Because they don't realize it's a problem, and they don't
Right.
They don't
I'm not
care,
burnt out. So. Fuck you. Like, right. Oh, I think you are, bud. Right. But okay. Yeah.
Did you hear yourself?
Yeah, did you That's just right. hear yourself go off about that? Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't think they always see it.
No.
But I do think that sometimes they come back. There's something that clicks in a lot of people in yeah. there, whether that changes the way they're doing things or not fully. But sometimes I see people come back from classes with motivation.
Yes. Right?
They're motivated.
And that's
they're
what
like,
we were
oh,
just
okay,
talking about
different.
That. I was like, I love when you come back from a training yeah. class and you're like,
right.
I have all these ideas. Let's
right.
implement.
Exactly.
All of
all
them.
All of them.
Yeah.
Immediately.
We're building right. a new center. Like,
that's right.
right.
We're starting
There's
over.
There's $60 million yeah. Yeah. that I brought back from class with me
that's
for
right.
this new center.
That's right. Yeah. That's correct.
We're also consolidating with everyone
here's
in the state.
Here's the blueprints. I worked on these after class.
Right?
Yeah.
I worked very hard on this organization.
This
chart.
Is my
right.
office right
Stupid
here.
Stupid ICS organization. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
This is my office right here.
Right. No, so I love when that happens because that means that you're going to the right training classes if you're coming
right.
back and being like, oh my gosh, this would be so wonderful on our center. And I love this. Yeah. And
well, I think people need to, they need to recognize. They need to recognize the fact that there's benefit to you signing up for classes and picking them.
Yes.
If you don't like being told to go to a class and having one assigned,
ask for one.
Put some effort forward and find something that might interest you. It's just right. beneficial.
It doesn't take very long to go on APCO, go on NINA.
Right.
And look for, I mean, I can't remember, is it the 911? I can't remember the website now. There's one of them that has a virtual webinars that you
yeah.
can take.
The Training right. Institute, 911 Training Institute.
Yes, it is 911 Training Institute. There are dozens and dozens of, and I mean, I ended up taking a cultural diversity class through them. And it was so cool because I've never seen a class like that offered for 911 dispatchers. And I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's like it's a topic right now, cultural diversity right. and being respectful and acknowledging other people's cultures.
Right.
So I was like, this is really cool that we have this for dispatchers, not for police officers,
yeah.
not for firefighters. So I asked to take it. And my boss was like, sure. Yeah. You want to take that?
Right.
Go ahead. That Do sounds it. Cool. I've never even seen that before.
Right.
So, yeah, like go on these websites and look for shit to take because there's tons of topics.
Yeah.
Tons and tons of them that
yeah.
you can go through.
And if you, yeah, I don't, you know, the other thing that people don't take away from it. And I'm just as guilty because I'm not the most, I'm outgoing when we're talking, we're around people, whatever, I can interact, no problem.
Right.
But I'm not always the person to get up and initiate that.
Yeah.
Right? So when we go to classes, a lot of times I'm like, okay, I'm here for the class. I'm going to sit right here. This is what I'm doing.
I'm not
going
to talk
here.
To anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know any of you. It's awkward. It's weird. I'm not
right.
always the person to network that way. But I'm also smart enough to know that the opportunity is there to network with other agencies. First off, what if you decide to move and you're going to move to that area? Now you know some people there that can maybe help you out.
Right.
Just having an appreciation for people from other agencies, because we all know that sometimes it's contentious, especially if you have multiple agencies close to one another and they're always transferring calls, having to call the other agency for
right.
this, that. You now know somebody on the other end of that line,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it a little bit more personal than just somebody that you feel is being snippy with you on the other end of the phone.
Right.
You know. Now, if you know that person and they're still snippy with you, well, fuck them. Right? That's
right.
just how it is. It gives you the opportunity to meet somebody and see who they
it
are
does.
And realize that they go through the exact same shit you do, and that's
mm-hmm.
why sometimes when you call them and you ask them something stupid or whatever, they're having the same reaction you would have if they called you. So now you now have some, again, empathy to stop and go, okay, I need to stop doing this, and I also
right.
need to.
This person's not doing this to be an asshole. Like, someone's making them do it or
right.
whatever.
I said this a long time ago, and I say it all the time. I've gotten to where most, if another agency in our area, and we have lots of them, right, if I call over there and I don't recognize the voice, I'll say, hey, it's Norm from such and such.
Right.
Most of the time I go, hey, it's Norm. That's it. I started doing that a long time ago because I would build a rapport with people on the phone and talk to them, you know, as much as you can.
Right.
You know,
because
we're busy.
Right. We're in the middle of telling them something.
Get to know them a little bit, joke around, you know. So next time they hear my voice, I go, hey, it's Norm. And if there's a pause, I go, from, you know,
my agency. Yeah.
And then they go, oh, yeah, hey, hey. And then I hate to say it, but I condition people to just know me as Norm. Right. Instead of, it's Norm from so-and-so. They automatically know.
See, and maybe I should do that because I sometimes just say, like, hey, it's agency. Mm. Like, hey, it's whatever. Instead of saying, hey, it's Kaylee.
I know some people that do that.
I'm just trying, like, to be fast. Like, that's really all it is. I'm just going, like, hey, it's blah, blah, blah.
Screwed up is sometimes your voice sounds different on the phone. So I might call over there and you'll answer and I have to wait for a few words to go through and go, oh, okay. Because you guys answer and it's a number.
We answer with our badge number and not ours.
And that's... sorry to your agency. That's obnoxious. It drives me nuts. I want to know who I'm talking to.
I don't like giving people my name. I'm weird about it. I'm even weird about people knowing where I work.
Even just your first name?
Yeah.
I don't give my last name.
I will occasionally.
I'm not giving you my last name.
It might be because, like, I feel like my first name is a bit unique. So, like, not a lot of people have that first name.
Yours is spelled uniquely, but
yes. So when people, like.
Unique, but.
If people ask me for my name, I'll give them my first name, but I will never give anyone my last name.
Yeah. No, I don't give my last name either, but I feel like that helps. You know, if you're going to training, utilize it for a lot of stuff. Okay, you're not at work today. This is your work today. Volunteered for it. You're getting paid to do it. Network with some people and learn something. Take it for what it is instead of being pissy about it because you got sent to training.
Just talking about this over the weekend, but we were talking about the conferences that we go to with my trainee, and I was saying, like, I went to a conference 6 years ago now. It was my first time at this conference, and I was super nervous about going. I was going with my, like, manager and supervisor at the time, and I was going to this conference because I had won an award from that organization.
Okay.
So at the time, I was, like, super nervous and a little bit embarrassed and, like, I didn't want a ton of attention from people.
Yeah.
That organization plastered my picture all over the conference because it was, like, a big award that I was winning.
Okay.
And at the time, I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, mortifying. But looking back on it, I realized it was really cool because everyone kept coming up to me and introducing themselves to me because they recognized me from my photo.
Yeah.
So people kept coming up and they're like, oh my gosh, you're the award winner. That's so cool. I'm so-and-so from this agency. And even months later, I went to a training class at a different agency and I walked into the room and I was dying at this. I swear to God, this is true. I felt like a rock star. This girl was like, aren't you the telecommunicator of the year from, and I was like, how did you recognize me? And she's like, I recognize your picture. I was there. And I'm like, it's been like 6 months, girl. What are you thinking about? Like, but it was really cool. Cause again, like now I got to meet all these people because everyone, I didn't have to be super extroverted and walk up to people. People were coming up to me because they recognized me and they wanted to say hi. And now that I've gone to that conference a few more times, I know everybody.
Right.
Like, not everybody, but I know a ton of people that I wouldn't have normally known.
Of course.
From that experience.
Right.
So it was really cool. And again, like, I was so embarrassed and mortified at the time because I didn't want my picture all over. It was really weird.
Yeah.
But it ended up being a good thing.
Right. Well, this is the part of the humanizing the headset, right? It's not just the public.
Right.
But it's everybody else, too.
Yeah.
So, and that's part of, and I was just thinking about this while you were talking about that as well, is when you're a number, you're a number.
Right.
Whereas if you're Kaylee,
you're
Kaylee, right? So to me, that's very different, even between us.
Right.
Like the public, okay, I understand using a number.
Yes.
But they're going to treat you like a number too.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand why, but if you're not a person, you're not a person. So I have people all the time, I'm like, my phone answers Norm. They're like, did you say Norm? Yes, Norm. Like from Cheers, you know, they're like, oh, okay. Unless they're like 20 and they're like, what's Cheers? Oh, my God.
Cheers to you, too.
I'm like, yeah, cheers, pal, buddy. No, God. It was a TV show. Let me relate it to Norm of the North, right? Like the cartoon polar bear for you. Because clearly you grew up with that.
Right.
But I think it changes the way, if we want to be treated differently and people are reckoned, we have to change some of the stuff that we're doing too. That
right.
creates that disconnect between people.
Yeah.
I'm not saying give out your birth date. I'm not saying give Here's out your last social. Name. Blue. You know, yeah. that kind of stuff. But being a person with a lot of people helps that. Some people don't give a shit.
Right.
But we have to change the way we're doing things if we want to see some change as well.
Right.
Especially with one another.
Yeah.
You know, between agencies, you got to treat them like they're doing the same job. Maybe they don't do it as well as you. We know that's true. But they're still
maybe
trying.
Maybe you don't do it as well as they do.
Right.
That's
or maybe
the
they
case
do
sometimes.
It differently just because.
And that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They may do it differently. And because you don't, at your agency, don't do it that way, doesn't mean they're doing poorly. They're doing it the way they were trained to do it at their place. So
right.
cut them some slack. Be real with them and you're good, you know. But I think that training is lots of opportunities, not just to learn, but to make those connections. I mean, you
yes.
talked about it as well, Brennan, right?
There I mean, were people networking there. Is half of it.
Yeah,
yeah that's think. Literally, like, that's half the point, I feel like. It really is.
And then you meet those people, you make those connections, and then when it comes time for you to make decisions, you have this pool of people that you can say, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm thinking. What success did you have with
right.
that? Or what is it that you're doing? Or what is it that you implemented
right.
That was successful for your agency?
Right.
You
yeah, know, even can, like having...
trusted resource.
Right.
Yeah, those resources when you're trying to do something.
Yep.
Like we have... I remember at one of the conferences a few years ago, there was a trainer of the year was one of the awards. I got her email address. I was like, can I please have your contact info? Because
right.
I would love to talk to you. Because if you're the trainer of the year and I'm a CTO, I want to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
yeah. I want to know what you're doing right. with your trainees because I would love to have some additional ideas.
Right. Right.
It's a really important part of this. Yeah. When you're going to training to take something away from the class.
Talk to people. Yeah.
And also talk to people.
Yeah.
So.
What you do is you pick the other person that looks the most comfortable sitting in there and go up to them and be like, hey!
Or like the
like,
person
shit,
who
this
appears
is exactly
to
what
know.
I didn't want
There's
to
always
happen.
One person that knows the instructor somehow. Like,
yeah.
I feel like in every class.
I feel like that's the person that took their same class 2 weeks ago and the instructor's like, who the fuck are you? But they're like, oh yeah, that was a great class. I remember I saw you. And they're like,
right.
what? I've taught, 500 people over the course of the last 3 weeks. Of course I remember you,
right.
Becky.
right.
No. Remember I said that really funny thing in the class and you laughed and we just all had a great time? No.
Yeah.
It didn't mean that as much to me. I'm sorry.
Right, exactly.
Sorry to hurt your feelings, but you're not that funny. Becky. Becky.
Why's it gotta be Becky?
Because she's such a...
Because it's always Becky.
Becky. Becky with the hair? With the good hair? Is that what it is? Becky with
yeah.
the hair?
Becky and Karen.
Karen
and Gary.
All right. Well, in the meantime, go check out our Facebook page.
Yes.
We have a group.
Yes.
Yes.
What do you?
Yes.
You sound really upset about that.
No.
Oh. Yeah. You're like, yes. Go
yes.
Go look at it.
Stupid
it's
group.
Dumb.
Oh, God.
No. We have a Facebook group. We have Instagram at humanize911. Check us out on.
We have a website.
Humanize911.com.
We do have a Twitter. Do we do a whole lot? I don't know if we do a whole lot on Twitter.
We do a little bit more on Twitter than we have been. It's very... Keeping up with social media is very time-consuming.
Yeah.
There's so many.
Yesterday, when Charisse and I did the 5K, I went home from that and I updated all of our social media with that, and it took me 45 minutes to do. One single post across
that's just posting it
platforms.
That's not even responding if
right.
somebody says something or any
right.
of that stuff right
like I think people take that for granted you know
sure,
like our followers and stuff like if I don't get back to people right away I'm sorry
yes
it's not personal
it's
social
not
media,
it's
right?
it's so time consuming just the social media portion of it takes up so much time 45 minutes for
well,
one
we
post,
are like keep in mind we
know?
Are all still working full-time jobs
yes and that too
like Brendan was in training. I was in training.
Right.
I'm also training a new employee. So she's taking up a lot of my energy at work.
Right.
And I'm really trying to focus on her and not be on my phone and not be
correct.
Right. Yeah. I don't working on anything else. With me, my phone is
away. Yeah. I keep it away. So
to my trainees.
Yeah, we're still, this isn't our full-time job. Even the podcast is not.
No.
We try to get together as often as possible to record, but it doesn't always happen.
We like to be consistent. Yes. Right.
And we're all adults and we have our own things going on, our own lives outside of our full-time job and humanizing the headset. So sometimes it's a little difficult to produce things for everyone consistently. I think we're very consistent.
I think we are. And I love our group on Facebook. I think we have an amazing group on our social media platforms because we get wonderful messages, wonderful comments from people.
I agree.
We appreciate you guys and just know that we are still working
full-time. And you know, some of us,
so we can't focus all of our energy on this as much as I would love to. I would love to.
And that's why we have so many people, so we're able to kind of spread
for sure
the load all around. I did post something the other day in our group to remind everyone that it's not for us, just us, to reach you. It's for them to reach out to us, you know, post
and
pictures.
And reach each other.
And ask questions.
Network.
And,
you
know, let us know what your center's doing. Let us know if your center's hiring. Again, it's not just for us to reach you. It's a page, or the group is designed for everyone. And I know it's confusing because we have a group and we have a page. And the page is the public page that doesn't allow people to post on the main wall.
Right.
So it doesn't get seen.
But our
group is a private group. It's just for the dispatchers. We do have some people that aren't dispatchers. It's for dispatchers and like their significant
close
others.
Family members.
They're people that have connections
friends.
To the industry, so they're trustworthy. People. You don't have to worry about, you know, bearing your soul. Right. And if you are worried about that, you can message us privately and we can post something on your behalf.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, there was a weird misconception. I don't know if that's still going on about no one is allowed to post on our group page except for us, except for the admins.
Right.
We encourage you guys to do it. We have had issues in the past with like, there was someone who was selling LuLaRoe and they were doing it consistently. Like every day they would share a live LuLaRoe sale on the page. And like, we're not here for that. I'm not here to join your multi-level marketing group. That's not what this is for. If you're selling an item that's specific to dispatchers, message us and we can talk about it.
Right. We have to be strict with it, because if we're not strict, then people will take advantage of it.
Right. If you have
it's nothing personal.
GoFundMe for a coworker. Like, we've had a lot of dispatchers or first responders that have lost houses and fires and stuff. Like, that's fine. Share your GoFundMe. As long as it's not like a GoFundMe to send me to Cancun for the summer. Like, no, we're not.
Right.
We're not going to help you with that.
Right. And it's people.
Good luck. We want you to go to Cancun.
That's
we're not
when we
paying.
Say GoFundMe.
Right. And we don't want people for that to be their only posts. You know, like people are only using us as a form of advertisement.
Right.
For
because
their secondary
we have so many
income.
Members.
Right.
You know, like, I don't give a shit what you're doing on HCH. I just want to use this as my platform.
Right.
Like,
so if you have questions, if you're looking for a job, if you have an opening at your center, feel free to post it. The group is for that. You're allowed to post pretty much whatever you want. We're just trying to keep out the weird.
Well,
we've had spammers get in and then they're posting weird stuff that doesn't make any sense. And
in the reality is if you post something, if you're not sure, ask. That's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
If you post it and it wasn't supposed to be something and you didn't ask and we take it down, don't take it personally. It's just not part of the, it's not what we're trying to promote on there. It has nothing
we'll
to do
almost
with.
We'll always tell you why it was taken down. Like, we'll send you a comment saying like, hey, this is why we had to remove
hey,
this.
Hey, your LuLaRoe yoga pants are really comfortable and soft on my
super
skin,
cute.
But I can't put them up there.
I will join your group privately to buy some, but don't put it in this group. It has nothing to do with what we're doing.
Right. It's not personal. We want to see your pyramid scheme work out for you.
Anyway, we also, I probably shouldn't even say this because I have not updated this, but if you're on TikTok, we have a TikTok now too. All I've posted is a couple of clips from the podcast. There are stuff that we also post in our group page, so it's pretty funny stuff. It was from our weird police blotters.
Yeah.
So it was Norm talking about insulting a deer. But yeah, we have a couple of really funny video clips on our humanized 911 TikTok. It's just the same thing as all of our other handles. It's at humanize 911.
Yes.
So,
and if you have a topic you want to see us discuss on the podcast,
please.
We know that some of you are actually listening, which is
wonderful.
Shocking. Almost.
We appreciate
it. We're a bunch of goofballs, but yeah,
What do you want to hear about?
Yeah.
If you want to hear about something different, we will talk to you about it.
Yes, we will. And we're going to have some people. So we have some guests that we're still trying to figure out when we're going to have on. We're working on times.
Yes.
It's difficult to coordinate the podcast because there's three of us already mm-hmm. that we have to manage our schedules on. And then to add another person on to that, it becomes even more difficult. So planning to have people on takes more time than you might think.
Right.
But we do have some people in mind that we're going to have on, including Joe Sirio. Edie DeVilbiss, we're working with her to be our chaplain.
Yes.
We're kind of talking about what that's going to look like for us because she's also partnered with 911 Wonder Women. I have a hard time saying that.
I know.
So we don't want to mirror exactly what it is that they're doing.
Right.
You know, because that's kind of pointless.
Yes.
So we want to offer something that's going to be just a little bit different so that she's able to spread herself all over the place and kind of have her own little niche within.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're going to have her on as well. I'm working with her on that. Donna Brown, we're going to have her on. She, I'm forgetting the name of the books that she wrote already.
Is it and I feel Beyond the Badge?
That. Yes.
Yes, Beyond the Badge.
Both. Yes.
One and two.
We're going to have her on. Pat Doyle, we're working to have her on for to talk about mental illness.
Right.
A bunch of other people. So if you want to be a guest on our podcast, let us know so that we can work that out well in advance. We typically record in the mornings at 10 a.m. Central Time, but we can be flexible with that. And also our blog. If you want to write for our blog, let us know. We're happy to have you on that as well. We don't want to be the only people pushing content because we can only pull from our own experiences.
Correct.
Right.
So we want you to share your experiences as well, because it's not just about what we're doing here.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
So let us know whatever you guys want to do, however you want to be involved. We're happy to accommodate that. We want everyone to be involved in this.
Right.
Agreed.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's all I got.
Well, until next time.
Till next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.